men a message of encouragement. We want to encourage you to continue to seek God, to know that He is our maker, He is our ruler. And today we invite your attention to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Every morning I get up and I'll make the coffee. And my wife asked her, well, why do you make the coffee? I said, well, it's in the Bible. She said, you need to show me. And I said, right here, Hebrews. I thought you enjoyed it. I got that from Miss Kavler, so. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned or lived in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated as we speak on the subject, show me a man of faith. Show me a man of faith. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful again that we can come to this place and glorify and honor your name. We ask that you would now prepare our hearts for your word. And Lord, help us to deliver it in the way that you would have us to. God, that every life, not only the men, but every soul, every heart, can be encouraged today to be true followers of God and to have faith in your word. We thank you again for all that you've done. We wish you a happy Father's Day, because if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we know that we would not have made it. But we're so thankful that you're not only in our life, but God, you're guiding our life so that we might live for you each and every day. Bless us now in our time together. Make it indeed time well spent. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. And everybody said, amen. Show me a man of faith. We're living in a time where people are looking for superheroes. We're living in a day where people are saying we need somebody that can rescue us, that can help us in our dilemma, in our evil that we're facing each and every day. And what is happening in our culture is because we can't find that superhero, they're inventing it with the imagination, and they're putting on capes on people that are not even real. But I can tell you that the demand for a superhero is something that we need every day. Can I get a witness? We need heroes in the home. We need heroes that can help our children. We need heroes that can stand up and make a difference in our churches and in our communities. We need heroes, not necessarily super, but we do need heroes. We need the brave. We need those who are courageous. We need those who don't allow discouragement to get them down. We certainly need heroes. Now, I, for one, I've found a superhero. The world may not want him because he has demands and he has things that he would want us to do. So this superhero doesn't just come in and save the day, but he can save your soul. This superhero is called Jesus. And yet he says, you've got to be a follower of me. He that cometh after me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I found a superhero. What about you? Amen. I think that all of us would agree that Jesus is the one that has come in to not only deliver us, but to give us something that we can live on. He's come to transform our life in such a way that now you can take on your role and your responsibility that you ought to be assuming, because God is the one that's going to make it possible. Listen to what he says in John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him who? Our superhero. as many as received Jesus, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Notice the word believe. It means you got to trust God. You've got to depend on God to do in you, not only for you, but to do in you his will and his way. So we're talking about a man of faith. We're talking about people who believe that God not only can work for them, but God can work through them. Do I have any witnesses in the building? So we want to find a man of faith. And ladies, if you would permit me, I want to focus on the men because they need encouragement. A lot of our men are getting discouraged. A lot of them, if you look at what's happening in our society, they're trying to paint men as either being stupid or feminine. Do I have any witnesses? Now God made men to be men. So we don't need estrogen shots. Do I have any witnesses? We need men to be men, but neither do we want them to get hyped up over testosterone and feel that they've got to be super muscular. You are what God made you to be, but you ought to be all that. Amen. You ought to be every bit of the man that God created you to be, nothing more, nothing less, because you got to have a connection with him if you're going to be anything. Am I talking to the men? Let me hear you holler now. If you're here today, you know, yeah. So we're looking for a man of faith, and the Bible has given us such a man of faith. The Bible has reflected on a man called Abraham. And isn't it interesting that Abraham is called the father of the faith? So what is it about this man that you and I need to know? In the next few minutes, I want to share that. And this is not only going to help the men, it's going to help the ladies as well. But I find that in this generation in which we're living in, the women are having to assume the role of the man because the man is something went wrong, Reverend Ray. Something has gone awry, as they would say. They're not stepping into the role, and they're under addictions, and they're under just different things where if they're not addicted to something, then they're not stepping up to something. And so I want to encourage you today that God is on your side to help you to be what you ought to be and to help you to do what you ought to do, because at the end of your life, all right, now this is what I'm talking about. At the end of your life, while everybody is going to be saying, well, he was this and he was that, he wasn't this and he wasn't that, God is going to point the finger at you and ask the question, why didn't you do what I told you? Now, in order for us to really grab hold of this in our mind, we need to look at somebody. See, men can't read it on a page necessarily. They need an example. They need somebody. Show me somebody. You know, I grew up, reading the G.I. Joe magazine, and they had on the back of it Charles Atlas. And I said, you know, one day I'm going to be that man. I'm going to have all these muscles. Well, something happened to that, but anyway. But we wanted a superhero. We wanted someone to help us and to tell us what it's like to be a man. And I can tell you that my father wasn't but 5'10", but he was a man. He was a man. He represented something and only had a fifth grade education, but he was a man. So you don't have to have all the money in the world. You don't have to have all the muscles. You don't have to have all the physique. But you need to know that you know. Amen. You need to understand what it means to walk with God and to talk with God. Amen. So that real superhero is a person that finds someone. You don't have to be that person, but a man of faith finds the superhero. And he begins to follow after him. And I think therein is our problem. Therein is our problem, because some men get the big head. They don't want to follow nobody. Some young men, I'm looking at some young fellas in the audience, and some young men think they know. And they look, what's this old guy going to tell me? This old guy can tell you at least where he's been. and where he's gone wrong. Do I have any witnesses in the building? So let's look at this. Let's look at this. We're going to look at Abraham, this man of faith, because the Bible says that he was a man of faith. He found God, he believed in God, and he followed God. This man of faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called. So God had to speak to him. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he would after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he was going. You're talking about walking by faith. That's walking by faith. So the first thing that we find out about Abraham, Father Abraham, we used to sing it in the youth church, Reverend Givens and Ms. Givens said, Father Abraham had many sons. All right. And many sons had Father Abraham. And I'm one of them. All right. Every man in the house that you're one of them, raise your hand. All right. Amen. We're a man of faith because of this man of faith. What did he do? Well, David, he walked by faith. When he was called, he didn't sit down. All right. He walked by faith, Brother Slayton. And so when he walked by faith, he had to walk out of something. Right. Now, he dwelt in this place called Mesopotamia. And they were an advanced civilization. They had the code of Hammurabi, and they were beginning to develop as a society. But the thing was, they were developing the wrong way. Rather than getting closer to God, they were getting closer to themselves and identifying themselves as humanists. Or we believe in the human ability. I believe in human ability also, but it has to be God-controlled. Anybody in the house know what I'm saying? So some stuff you just got to get out of. Amen. Amen. Fellas drinking at the party, you got to get out of. Because you know what happens every time you turn up. Right. Talking about get turned up. Yeah. Every time you get turned up, you know what's going to happen. I knew what was going to happen. Give me a scotch and soda. And then anybody in the house today, look at somebody, tell them some things you just got to get out of. Abraham got out of this place called Ur of the Chaldeans because it was not a place where God could develop him into the type of man that he needed to be. Yeah, they were speaking his language. He knew all about the culture, but he did not feel at home in that type of lifestyle. And you and I, at some point in our life, our conscience begins to say to us, yeah, my friends are doing this, my pals, my buddies are doing this, but I got to get out of this because I believe there's something more. Anybody believe there's something more for your life? Abraham walked. Say that with me. Abraham walked. He didn't just talk. Now, unlike his daddy, who started to get out, he got all the way to the border of Tehran. And then he said, that's it. I'm at the border, so I'm not exactly in it, but he wasn't out of it. I'm just going to cut back a little bit. You ain't out of it. I'm just going to maybe do this every other week. You're not out of it. When you get out, you get out. I don't have time to keep talking about that. But just look at somebody, tell them, walk. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Habits will always hold you down unless you start walking. I'm so glad I walked into church. Lord, have mercy. Clap your hands on that one. I'm so glad I walked into church. I would have still been walking around in circles talking, I'm going to do better one of these days. You ever heard fellas say that, man, I'm gonna get it straight. I'm going to get it tight one of these days. I'm going to tighten up one of these. Unless you walk in church, you ain't tightening nothing. You've got to be able to walk in fellowship with God. Abraham walked by faith, but then Abraham obeyed God. I know you can multiply. I know you pull up this thing. I'm 3 times 7. Yeah, that equals 21, but it doesn't mean a thing unless you obey. It says that Abraham obeyed God, which meant God gave him instructions. Abraham followed the instructions, and God was able to do extraordinary things in his life. If you don't obey, God can deliver you again and again and again, and all it is a recycle. Get in trouble, God gets you out of trouble. Mess up, God help you get it straight. Now, I want to tell you something. You're not perfect, neither am I. God has had to get me out of a bunch of stuff. Amen? And if we're honest with ourselves, yeah, that happens more often than we'd like. But thankfully to God, when you start obeying him, you don't get into as much trouble. How many of you men learning that you're spending less now because you have fewer habits? We ain't got so old, some of the stuff we just don't want to do. I just ain't into that no more. I'm old. I'm tired. Amen. Can't go out party on Saturday night because one reason, I'm just tired. I'm wore out. Come on, let's be for real now. Abraham obeyed God. He had this relationship with God. And God called him his, watch this, friend. He called him friend. You said, well, follow this old guy? Yeah, this old guy was a friend of God, which meant God listened to Abraham. As a matter of fact, he came into property that other folk were living in. Come on now. The Canaanites were living in the land. They were dwelling in the land. And Abraham could have said one of two things. All right, somebody else is here. Let me get out. But he stayed in the land. Or he could have said in an arrogant way, y'all are evicted. But he didn't do that. You know what he did? He sojourned. Which meant he, because he was a shepherd, because he raised livestock, he would move from place to place. But every place where his foot stepped, God said, that's yours. You don't have possession of it right now, but you have access to it. I don't have time to preach everything. When you obey, God will give you things because he wants you to use those things in a way that brings him glory, James. He wants you to take those things and say, God, thank you for what you gave me. Quit worrying about what somebody else got, the kind of car they have, the house they're living in. Be thankful for what you got because you know what? The Lord gave it. The Lord gave it. That's right. That's right. Abraham walked by faith. He was obedient to God. But then Abraham also passed on his faith. He was able to pass it on. You go back and read verse 9 of Hebrews 11. It says that Isaac and Jacob with him. So Isaac and Jacob were following in that same pattern. Now, but if you recall, there were some other children that belonged to Abraham. What happened to Ishmael? And why didn't he get it? Ishmael was the type of man that he believed in fighting. As a matter of fact, the prophecy over his life was, you ain't gonna be able to get along with nobody. Don't y'all raise your hand on that one. Because some of us have done that. What you mean, you know, and ready to fight at a drop of a hat. You can't fight your way through life. Amen. Because there's always going to be somebody just a little bit better, just a little bit tougher than you. My mama used to tell us, you better pick your battles. Some of them you can't win. And some of them, it wouldn't matter if you fought them anyway. You can get in a fight with a skunk. And you can just wear that skunk out. But what good is it going to do? Because everybody know that you got in the fight. Thank you. Now, all of life's situations might not be skunky. But I tell you what, they ain't worth fighting. Just walk away from them. So how do you pass on your faith? Listen to what it says now. They had to learn these things. Isaac, I believe, learned being on that altar, being tied to that altar. He had to learn, you better take God seriously. Amen. You better know that God is real. Yes. When his father had him tied on the altar, he's laying there and he's seeing the knife in his daddy's hand and he's recognizing, I'm the only sacrifice here. But then when God allowed that ram in the bush, amen, to be noticed, come on, somebody. Then you know that God always can make a way out of no way. Men, how many times are you going to tie yourself to the altar and say, God, I can't leave here until I get an answer? My family needs you. Don't be ashamed to shed some tears before God. If you got to go into your closet at your, literally into your closet at your house, close the door. As my brother says, shut the door and pray to God. Amen. Knowing that he's going to hear you. Yes. It's better to come out of that prayer, tear-stained eyes, with an answer than to be proud and say, I ain't going in there. Sometimes you got to be broken before God. Jacob got it. Jacob got it because when that faith was passed on him, God had to wrestle him. Again, don't y'all raise your hand, but how many of y'all God had to wrestle you? When he gets on your conscience, on this side of your conscience, right? You know better than doing that. Come on, men, talk to me now. You know you don't belong here. Amen. And you're in a wrestling match with God, and then all of a sudden God breaks you. Okay, God, I ain't ever going to do that. How many of y'all ever say that? Man, I ain't ever doing that no more in my life. So Abraham is this is extraordinary example of what it's like to believe and trust in God. Did he have it easy? No, he had to fight. And I've already told you he had to walk, so I mean, he kept moving. And maybe that's a challenge to us. We are wanting to sit still and just, it's all right to take a break, but don't take a vacation. And whatever you do when you vacate, don't go back to Ur of the Chaldeans. Amen. Your Ur may be at a place in Lynchburg where you got messed up the first time. Don't go back there. Abraham kept walking by faith, kept trusting God, and so he stands as our example as a man of faith. In closing, I want to give you five things called the M&Ms. I wanted to have some M&Ms, but I didn't have them. Marvin Busey pastors out in Monroe, Virginia, and he, several years back, he talked about a man and these M&Ms. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, you know the M&Ms, that they got different colors. Here are the things that you got to think about. Number one, a man and his mind. A man and his mind. What's controlling your mind? If you get in a man's mind, that man is now under the control of that. The Bible says in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You ever get your mind messed up, your life will never get straight. And sometimes it's little thoughts in your mind to tell you, well, you're not good enough. I gave my grandson a simple concept. I said, everything has its proper place. Everything has its, so what did I do? I sowed some seed in his life. And it was what I was told. If you put stuff in its place, you don't have to worry about trying to find it when you need it. Do I have any witnesses? And now what's happening is we're allowing stuff to get in our mind. And with a messed up mind, you can't walk very far. With a messed up mind, you'll not be able to do or accomplish anything in life. But when your mind is made up, when your heart is fixed and you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is real, nothing is impossible. That's the first M&M. Second M&M is a man and his money. You can do a whole lot of talking if you want to, but if you don't know how to handle your money, all the money in your world and in the world can come your way. Easy come, easy go. Yeah, I wouldn't tell you. I ain't gonna tell you what my mama used to tell us, you know, about money. But she had a little saying, we got it. We got it. We learned how to manage our money. You know, she would just put it literally. Amen. And you learn how to manage your money. And whether you got a lot or a little, you got to know what your priorities are. Yes. Amen, somebody. Amen. Any man who is a father today, you got some priorities. Amen. Your priority is your family. Preach. Come on now, be real. Yes. That's your priority. Because your kid didn't ask to be here. Amen. Let me talk to somebody. And people say, well, I'm a good man. Show me your checkbook. Show me how you spend your money. Now, it'll tell whether or not you're a good man or not. Amen. You had to give up a whole lot of things, but it's all for the good because you want to do what glorifies God. The third M&M, a man and his mate. Amen. Amen. Not a man and his girlfriend. All right. Woo! Is this man preaching up in here? Amen. I'm talking about a man, the one you married. Yeah. Hello, somebody in the house. When you become that faith, see, because if you can't be faithful to a mate, you're not going to be faithful to God. He's going to be looking for you and you hanging out with somebody else. Lord, have mercy. Am I preaching up in here? You got to be a man that is faithful. And I know sometimes you and your wife, you see, she knows where all your buttons are. And the ones that you tell her this one don't push, that's the one she's going to push. But it's still your mate. Lord have mercy, I gotta get out of here. I gotta stop preaching. But am I helping anybody? Look at somebody and say, you need some M&Ms. Fourthly, a man and his mission. When you think about what it is that you're supposed to be doing in life, you got to look at what is my purpose for being here. Amen, somebody. And while we have a lot of things that you can do in church, my mission is not just to stand here in the pulpit and preach the gospel. I've got to be the message that I preach. Am I helping somebody? You got to look at what our mission is in life. And I'm not perfect. I've got a lot of flaws. But one thing I want to do, I want to serve God while I have breath in my lungs and blood in my veins. I want to do what he tells me because he's been too good to us. Amen. God's been merciful to us. Am I right? Every one of us in this room ought to have a mission. And that mission is, God, let me see what I can do for good today. Jesus went about doing good. Doing good. Very simple. But when you start putting into action, you're going to run into a whole lot of things. And I had four M&Ms, but I forgot the fifth one. And see, a lot of times you go in life, and because God is so, he's such a God that is humble. I never met anybody as humble as God. If I had all that God had, control the universe, and somebody on the other side of this little tiny planet gonna cuss me? Woo, you in trouble, Jack. But I'm glad I'm not God. He's an humble God, and he wants us to be humble. But the fifth one, if you don't get any of the other M&Ms, you gotta have this one. A man and his maker. Psalm 100 said, know ye that the Lord, he is God, is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Your very next breath depends on God said, okay, I'm going to release this breath. Your next heartbeat depends on God. Let me show you something. Did you know that you've got this little muscle inside your heart that it controls the pulse?
Yes.
And if you put something else beside that little mechanism, that it'll start beating in rhythm to something else. Now, what's happened is, rather than us having a heart that's beating for God, we done got it over on the wrong side. And now our heart is beating for the devil. Yeah, we into it. We into the groove now. You better get yourself back over here where you're supposed to be. Because you need him. You're nothing without your maker. And every day you need to acknowledge him. When it comes to M&Ms, we need to all recognize that we're nothing without our God. And that's what it takes to be a man or a woman of faith. The journey starts now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your glory. Thank you for your awesome power. We pray to God you would take this message and help us to live by it. Help us, God, that each day of our life we can be like Father Abraham. That song says he had many sons, and I'm one of them. Help us, God, to do what we ought to do, to say what we ought to say, and to live the life so that at the end of our journey, when the question is asked, how did you live? We can say that we live for the glory of God. Bless us now, God. Make this message go home in our hearts, Lord, that we might remember it. I pray this in Jesus' strong name. And all the believers said, amen, amen. I want to give the invitation. If there's one today, if you're in need of a Savior, if you're in need of God, we certainly want to invite you to know the truth so that the truth will set you free. I'm going to ask that we all stand.